We came all the way from London with a couple that came all the way from Argentina to... It's really remarkable, this couple, because they sold everything to come and be missionaries here. And they're not 20, they're a bit more than 20. And they sold everything to come here to be missionaries. Can you believe that? And they got children, they're in different countries as well. Some are Christian, some are not. But they still decided to serve God here in the UK. So that's amazing, isn't it? Likewise, we came to be missionaries here in 2002. And we have been here since that time because the Lord spoke to me very strongly about being missionary in the UK. Because the Lord said, you know what, Jose, you need to pay what the British missionary gave to the world. And that, for me, was something that touched my heart. Because I thought missions was India, was like Africa, was something like that. And then the Lord said, no, no, no. The church in the UK, the church in Europe, need to be re-evangelized. And that's why we're here. And also we came with Rosanna's mom, all the way from Argentina. She came to visit us. She doesn't speak any English, so I think you need to be patient with her. But she's here visiting us, but we would like to bring her over to live with us. So pray, because she's applying for a visa, has been denied 3 times, and we're going to go to the High Court at the end of this month to be able to see if she can live with us, because she doesn't have family, and Rosanna's brother is disabled, so it's very painful for her to live alone in Argentina. And to travel Argentina is not round the corner, it's like quite a long journey. So please pray for us in that sense. So I think that's enough with the introductions. Thank you.
Good evening. It's a real pleasure to be here with all of you. I'm so glad to be here after, I think, around 25 years. I was just standing in the same place.
You don't need the microphone.
And I remember that at that time, people were very interested to hear about the revival in Argentina. And I was sharing in this place about that. And I remember that people were so open to receive, as you are now. I was praying about today what to share with you. There are so many things that we can share. But I felt that God want to encourage us and move us and push us a little bit more in regard with faith. Actually, Jose brought during the worship that word, that God was pushing us to believe. But I would like to speak about the faith that is not dead. The faith that is not dead. Because, you know, faith is not just an agreement that we have with God. Oh, yes, yes. Yes, I agree that we should go and evangelize. Yes, I agree with God. It's not just an agreement about what we believe, but it's action. And I would like to emphasize this evening about the action part of faith. As Jose was saying, we were very amazed about this couple. She is my age, very young, of course. And yes, both of them are around the 60s, like Jose and me. And they decided to come as missionaries, and they're doing the DTS together with a lot of young people. DTS is the Disciple Training School, that most of the people that we have as students are young. Like them, but they are young in their heart, because even though that they have been serving God for all their life, still they are with that passion, with that fire in their heart to go for more. Then nobody have excuses here. And I would like if we can read James chapter 2, verse 14 to 17, to illustrate this faith that is not dead. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works, can his faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothes and lack daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and eat well, but you don't give them what their body needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith, if it doesn't how works, is dead by itself. I will repeat this last part. In the same way, faith, if it doesn't have works, is dead by itself. Faith, sometimes our languages, Spanish in my case, English, sometimes don't give us the real meaning of the words, especially the words that are in the Bible, because those words come from other languages. The worldview of those words come from other languages like Hebrew and Greek. Then I think that it's good to go back to the original meaning of that word of faith to understand what I tried to communicate today to you. Faith in Hebrew means is imunach. That means a firm determination towards the will of God. Actually, I'm not an expert in Hebrew at all, but I have heard and I saw that the shape of that word is like a hammer. That means it's a firm determination towards the will of Elohim, towards the will of God. That determination is that strong, then we can sing as we were singing, I'm not gonna turn back. I'm gonna follow Jesus with that firm determination. And that faith mean action. It's not just, okay, yes, it's, as the Bible says, we should go for evangelism. Yes, I agree with that. Yes, amen. And the pastor speak about, let's go for sharing the gospel in the street. Amen. And someone said, yes, and we need to maybe get up a bit early in the morning, 5 a.m, and have a good time of worship and praise the Lord at that time. Amen? You agree? Sometimes we agree, and it's okay, it's fine, at least it's the first step. But we are responding to that, or just agree, or just we say amen. Faith is not about agreement. You can be really very happy with all these principles, and you can say, okay, yes, this is good. Yes, Pastor, I think that to pray 4 hours per day is what we should do in order to see revival in our city, in our town. And it's okay, but the reality is that we need to, after that, we need to enter in that action. We need to move. We used to say that when in the Bible says that the signs will follow those who believe, that means that the signs of God, the miracles, the signs and wonders are going to follow. If they are following, I need to go somewhere for them to follow me. If I'm stuck in my own comfort zone, probably they cannot follow, because in the essence of signs, they need to follow, they need to move. And we, as people of faith, we need to move. Then faith is a firm determination towards the will of God. We hear God's voice first. We receive that vision from God as a church, in a corporative way, as a person, because we need that word from the Lord, because God has called us to transform my life, to transform my family, to transform my town, my nation, and the nations. Then I need to hear God's voice. But the second principle is that in faith, with that firm determination, with that action, coming out from my comfort zone, I need to obey and act accordingly. to that. Amen? Then vision is important because people without vision perish. You know the Bible. Good. But the problem is that a vision without commitment is just an illusion. And there are some, I was working with people for a long, long time. Don't touch here. And honestly, what I observed, these kind of people that come to you and come with very good ideas, and new and good ideas. You know, Rosanna, we can do this and we can do. And I said, good, wonderful. Do it. lead me in that. then I see that they disappear. Then now, because people know me, they don't come with a lot of visions, you know, unless that they are willing to lead those visions. Vision without commitment is an illusion. Sometimes we live through illusions. Yes, we are going to see the church full of people. Yes, this building will become very small, and what is happening here in Basingstoke will be heard around the country and in the nations. Wow, yes, that's fantastic. But without commitment, become just an illusion. Then, and we say, or used to say, commitment without vision is a frustration. If I'm honest with you, I can see a lot of, in England, we were observing that people are normally quite committed with things. But sometimes they lose vision. They don't know why they are doing this. I remember we were at the very beginning, we were in Derby, living in Derby, and there was a soup run. And they were distributing soup to the homeless. And they did this for 20 years. Can you imagine that kind of commitment? But they were like robots, doing the soup, you know? And serving. But there was not a real passion, it was automatic. That's why this combination between the vision that we receive from God when we hear his voice to do what he is calling us to do, together with that commitment that will make things happening, both together. You can repeat with me, vision without commitment.
Vision.
It's just an illusion. And commitment without vision is a frustration. There are so many Christians that are frustrated. And maybe your part is just to, I don't know, to clean this place. But if you clean this because you are very committed, every day you come and clean, but without vision, a day will come where you will feel frustrated doing this. And you will think, what is the meaning of what I'm doing? But if you do this with the vision that this is the place where the brothers and sisters will come to recharge, and I want for them to enjoy a place that is the best place ever, where even will be receive the Holy Spirit in a particular way. I will clean and I will pray for each one of the chairs and I will feel this is my church, this is my place. And maybe I'm very poor, I don't have any material things that belongs to me, but I develop that sense of belonging, you know, because I have vision. I not just have just commitment, but I have also vision for the things that I'm doing. Are you with me?
Yes.
Faith is not just an idea, a concept, an intellectual thing, you know, an agreement or a feeling, oh, yes, 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 I'm going to pray, yes, yes. And or maybe, yes, this is going to happen. Then God says, okay, go. Yes, this is going to happen. This is going to happen. It's not just a feeling, you know. Sometimes we think, but I don't feel that this can happen. Doesn't matter. What is important is to have that firm determination towards the will of God. Even if you understand or not, even if you feel or not, even if it's logical or not. For example, let me give you a very fresh example. My sister, Patricia, we went to the house of Margaret and Mike, and we went. They don't know her. They knew us because their daughter was with us doing the DTS in Argentina. And at the end, Patricia said, when we came here for my husband's rehearsal with the worship, Patricia said, I want to stay here in the house. And I thought, but they don't know Patricia. And Patricia, they don't know them. And then when she came here, said, oh, what a blessing. And I thought, okay, sometimes things that are not that logical, but are guided by the Holy Spirit, and we need to be sensitive to that. Okay, then faith is going to take us, and let me, through these 4 points, give a little bit of our story. Faith is going to take us to confront the enemy. When you receive a vision from the God for transformation, could be in your own life, could be in your family life, could be in your, as I said, in the church or in the city or whatever God is calling you to invest your life, you will confront the enemy. And sometimes you can think, okay, but I'm serving God. Why all these contradictions? Why all this opposition? It's because you are serving God. That's the reason. Then every time that you start with this step of faith, this firm determination to do something for the extension of the kingdom of God, you will confront the enemy. The enemy that are outside you, but also your own enemies, the enemies of your flesh. These are the wars. Because the strongholds and Satan and his demons, okay, we need to be aware about that. But sometimes the worst enemies that come to the surface when you want to do something following the will of God are your own enemies. Your independent spirit or your pride or your selfish ambitions or sometimes your fears or, you know. And they will try to oppose what God is calling you to do. Then we need to be more, more familiar. Don't be amazed. Oh, what is happening with me? Are you serving God? Are you planning, I don't know, to do some evangelism next weekend, or to go and visit some friend in hospital and pray for them? Or are you planning that? You will start to experience opposition. Don't feel that this is something weird that is happening. I'm leading a ministry that calls CIGR, Center for International Justice and Reconciliation, and this ministry have a status in the United Nations. Actually, I will ask you to, as a church, to pray for. I'm part of the delegation of Argentina in the UN for the conference with women in March.
In New York,
in the UN. And you don't imagine the spiritual warfare that take place in those places. But the church need to go even to the gate of hell, you know. And that is not going to prevail against us. That is the promise from God, you know. But we need to infect, we need to go to every place to be his witnesses. And I, last year, we also were as part of the delegation and been there as part of CIGR. We have been seeing a lot of people doing their rituals there, and the opposition, spiritual opposition and ideological, and in all kind of way, the opposition is amazing, you know. Then sometimes I thought, why am I here? why am I here? Why God called me to be here? Many times I ask myself, what is the meaning for me to be here? I cannot change. I remember that in the discussion, they wanted to implement and push with an agenda that was, in appearance, was so nice, because what they said apparently is so good. But in reality, the meaning or the implementation of these things are terrible, you know, are so diabolic. And all this pushing with the gender ideology and things that push the nations to do things that maybe they don't want to do. But because of the economy and the politics, you know, they are there, these agendas. And you need to fight there. And honestly, it's not about to be a clever person. It's about to understand what is the spiritual battle about, you know. And sometimes I saw myself through the corridors just interceding and pray. And you know, at the end of that 2 weeks in which we were discussing about that document, normally the Africans are the ones that fight against that and stop this kind of crazy ideas that we have in the West. And I remember one person from Nigeria, from the delegation from Nigeria, came to me and said, Rosanna, don't worry. We, the Nigerians, we will be firm and we will be against that document. When the week finished, the same person came to me and said, oh, I'm sorry. Because the pressure, economic pressure, was that strong from this globalism that they collapsed, they accepted the document. Then we thought, what can we do? What can we do? And we were just three people that were Christian in all these hundreds of people from different generations, delegations. At least from my country, we were just three. And my country, at that moment, their position was very pro-abortion, all the things that we want to defend, you know. And then someone that was leading there said, we think that we have some spies here. We were the spies. And we sent an email to the Mondino. What's the role of Mondino?
Minister of External Relations.
Yeah, that one. And we said, this is what is happening. And the document is going to be successful, and we need to do something. But our delegation is pro all these things, pro-abortion, pro-the gender ideology, pro all this stuff, pro-euthanasia, pro... And then we sent us that letter, and finally, because of that letter, the document was stopped. And that was a miracle. But the spiritual warfare that we were facing was so strong. That I cannot explain all the details now because we don't have time, but really, if God is calling to do something, even from the most simple little things, remember and be aware that you will confront the enemy in many different ways. Your enemies of your soul, of your flesh, the enemies of the world, and Satan. The second thing is to enter in the risk zone. Faith is going to put you in places that maybe nobody were before. Doing things that maybe no other people did in that way, you know, in this risk zone where sometimes are quite dangerous. I got so many experience about that because actually as part of this ministry, we are defending the cause of the persecuted church. I was in many different countries with the persecution take place. But I would like to share with you a short story about... Before I came to England to live here, with my husband, we were leading DTS, this Disciple Training School, with 40 students, a lot of work. I got two teenagers, as my daughter and my son, they were teenagers. I don't know if someone had teenagers here, but it's a big challenge. That is a big vision. You need a big commitment. And I got a big house with a big garden, so many things to do every day. A lot of, in the ministry, a lot with the family. And I remember that one afternoon, I went to my bedroom, and in the midst of all this busyness, I put the television on, and I saw the images of the center of Buenos Aires that was in a big chaos. Why? Because we were going through the most difficult crisis, political and economic and social crisis at that moment. Economic crisis is quite normal in my country. That was one more. But the political and social crisis was terrible. And I saw the images and I thought, where is your church in a time like this? I was even a bit annoying because I saw in those images people that were kicked out, people that were fighting with different signs about different political parties. And I thought, where is your church? And the Lord, with his gentleness, he said, and where are you in a time like this? And immediately, you know, some arguments came and said, Lord, I'm serving you. I'm discipling more than 40 people. I have staff, because we have people working with us that also we need to invest in. I have two teenagers. My eldest daughter also was married. I got already two grandkids. I have a lot, Lord. And on top of that, I like flowers and I like my garden. I was working so hard in that garden. Then the Lord repeats the same thing again. He said to me, Rosanna, where are you in a time like this? Then I didn't want to discuss with God because you know you always lose. And then I started to think, okay, what can I do? What can I do? Many Argentinians died because the militias were trying to bring order, and that was a terrible chaos. Then was a very difficult situation. And I thought, and I saw a group of ladies from the, I don't know if you have heard that during the military government, there was people that were kidnapped, especially young people that were kidnapped, those who were with some mentality of communist mentality, ideology. Then these ladies that we call the mothers and grandmothers of Plaza de Mayo, they were in a circle and they were claiming for their children that disappeared and grandchildren that disappeared. And I saw in the images in the television, remember that I was trying to rest at that moment. I couldn't. Then I saw that and I thought, wow, they are with a white scarf. And I thought, maybe I can buy some material and make some light blue scarf because the flag of my country is light blue and white. And I did that, and I went to the ladies of the mission, women of mission, and I said, girls, I have a good idea. Yes, Rosanna, the Lord said that we should do something about what is happening in the center of Buenos Aires, my dear Buenos Aires, like the tango. And they said, okay, but there is a kind of revolution. They are shooting, people are crazy, there is very chaotic. How are you going to do this? No, what I'm thinking is that we can go just to that place and just be there with this light blue scarf, because I noticed that the ones that are with the white one, nobody touched them. And I thought, we can go and be with them and maybe we will be saved. We can pray for the situation. Nobody responded. Then, because they love me, two or three of them, one was my mom, say, okay, let's go. And the first day I went, and I was in that corner in front of the Congress. Rick Zones, remember, Rick Zones. And I didn't know what to do. And we were praying. I said to the two or three ladies that were with me, okay, let's pray. I tried to, you know, transmit some kind of security. I was not, but I tried to transmit that. Okay, let's pray. And suddenly a lady came, an old lady came with a plastic bag and said, do you know what I have here? She was so angry. And I said, no, I don't know. And imagine in that moment was, let me give you the picture of that situation, was a line of horses with the military waiting for the right time to bring order, not in a soft way, not in an English way. people shooting, you could listen all the shooting, fire everywhere. There was a tense in the atmosphere, very strong. And I was there, and again, thinking what I'm doing here. And on top of that, I brought these three ladies, poor them. But I tried to show them I was secure what I was doing. I was not really. And this lady asked me, do you know what I have here? And in a very aggressive way. And I said, no, I don't know. She said, I have poo. My poo. Okay. Yes. And I want to go and throw my poo to these politicians that are okay, because they are throwing their poo, because they are stealing from us all our savings, and that was true. And I said, okay, I will pray for you. I didn't have any clue what to say, you know, because sometimes we are very, we are like lions here in the church. Yes, Lord. Satan, go out, you know? Especially the Latinos, we are very passionate in that way. But when we are in those kind of situations, we lost all the understanding of everything, you know? We feel completely naive. And the woman just ran and went to throw that things to the politicians. And suddenly, because there was a stage over there, like 100 meters on that side, that was in front of the parliament, and the guy that was on the stage with the microphone called me. Nun, because he thought that I was a nun. Or sister, yes, but he thought that I was a nun. He said, sister, but thinking that I was a Catholic nun because I was with the light blue scarf, the light blue scarf, yeah. Then he thought that I was a nun. And he said, come to the stage. And I thought, and the three girls that were with me said, it's you, he's calling you. They were very enthusiastic, and I wanted to kill them. And because he was insisting, then I said, okay. And they said, don't worry, we will stay here praying for you. Thank you. Then I started to walk towards the stage, and I was trembling with my legs. I didn't feel my legs at all. I thought that I was flying, but I was not. I was walking. And I went to the stage, and when I was there, the guy that was with the microphone, he gave me the microphone. I said, sister, say something to the people. And the people that were there, there were hundreds of them, most of them the communists, with the signs, you know, the communist sign, and with all these signs there, and with their faces were with a lot of bitterness, and I was there with the microphone, no? The sister Rosanna, and the light blue scarf. I didn't have any experience at all in that kind of environment, Rick Zone, you know. But sometimes God is going to call you to these Rick Zones. And Rick Zones could be that kind, or could be that you need to go and speak with someone that you are a little bit distant because of something happening in the relationship, and you need to go and say, let's talk a little bit. Forgive me. That is entered also in Eric's song, no? Then sometimes faith takes us to this Rickson. And I went up and I remember that I didn't have any clue what to say. And when he said, speak to the people, what can I say? I thought, and at that moment, came to my mind this a song that from a guy that said that Jesus was not in the temple, but Jesus was in the market, blah, 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 blah. And because I didn't, another thought in my mind, I start to say with a lot of security, first of all, I imitated a very famous politician in my country that was Eva Perón. I don't know if you heard about her. Yeah, probably the older remember her. She was very famous, and she used to say, compañero. But she was like with this voice, compañero, that means mate. And I did the same, mate. And all the boom, boom, boom with their drums, you know. Yes, wah! Everybody was very happy because she was from the left, you know, in the ideology. And then I said, Jesus is not in the temple. Jesus is here where the need is. Silence. And I saw to my left, and I saw the people in the militaries on the horses waiting for attacking. On the other side, where was the Congress, people were spying the curtains, you know, to see what was happening. And the guys were looking at me like this. And then I repeated again, because when I don't know what to do, I repeat. Jesus is not in the temples. Jesus is here. And they started to say, okay, pray for us. They started to respond, pray for us. That was one lady, and she said, pray for us, okay. I will pray for you. What do you want? I said. And they started to say from the multitude, for our medicine, for this. Because, of course, the communism didn't give them any answer. They were looking for answers, real answers. And that Jesus was the last, you know, resource that they got. And I started to pray with my one eye was closed. And I said, okay, close your eyes. And then I thought, what I'm doing. And these communists closed their eyes. The only one that was not closing their eyes was me, because I thought, I need to know who is shooting me, you know? And then I started to pray, and something extraordinary happened. Was like a sign, and a presence of the Holy Spirit was even greater than in the best worship that my husband can lead. Imagine. Was the presence of God was amazing. The Holy Spirit was so tangible. The best service that you can assist. And after that, they came to the stage trying to support me and comfort me, and they wanted to hug me. Some of the people that were on the stage, they wanted to protect me. And the Lord said to me very clear, they are looking for mothers and fathers. Because our nation is orphan. You know, our nations are orphans. Then God is looking for fathers and mothers that are willing to enter in these strict zones. The next thing is to learn to deal with disappointments and frustrations. You know, if you are responding in faith to God, you will be always facing this disappointment, because people sometimes, maybe you have some expectations, and sometimes that doesn't happen, you know? Maybe you say, okay, God said to me that I need to start time of intercession, and you prepare yourself, you send the leaflet, you invite the church, and the day that is gonna happen, and you are there, everything is prepared, nobody comes. Big disappointment. Be ready for that. And what is worse is the frustration. We need to learn to ask God, what for, Lord? When this frustration comes, don't allow this frustration go upon your head. Let them go under your feet. We need to learn how to put these frustrations under our feet and learn to walk with them, you know? Because frustrations always will be together. It's part of the, you know, the hamburgers and the chips. It's
the combo.
The combo. It's a part of the combo, you know.
The cheese
come with the burgers, you know. That means the faith comes with tribulation, with frustration, with disappointments. But we need to learn to ask God, God, what for? What do you want to do in my heart? No, sometimes we immediately say, why, Lord? I want to serve you. And look what is happening. We need to learn that also God will use the process of that vision to deal with you, with your character. And I can speak more about this, but I will let just go into the next point. That is the last one. To persevere beyond the circumstances. Persevere. You can be very clever. You can have a tremendous vision. You can have a lot of gift. But if you don't persevere with patience beyond the circumstances, I tell you, you will never get to the conclusion of that vision. You will never enter in that promised land. And probably the people that were in the desert going from Egypt to the promised land will give testimony when we go to heaven. They will share with us, I want to have an appointment. I have already an appointment with Moses because I think that was incredible to persevere. I remember, and can I share the last testimony? I have time, or we need to finish, maybe. Yes? She said yes. Yes. Okay, then the last testimony. I was, when we just arrived to England, the Lord said to me, the same anointing will follow you. And because I started to work in Argentina with people in government, the Lord said, I will use you in parliament. But imagine, my English was... didn't exist really. Now it's in process, but at that time didn't exist at all. Okay, I'm not gonna touch because I'm gonna do. And I remember that the Lord said to me, "I'm gonna use you in Parliament." We were living in Derby at that time. Then I said to Jose, we need to move to London, because God wants to use me in Parliament. He is a holy man, you know. He's a holy man. Yeah. Then he said, okay, Rosanna. But imagine for us coming from Argentina, poor country, going to London, a very expensive city, was nothing easy. But he believed in me. I don't know. He believed in God first, but also he believed in me. That's why I'm preaching today. and I said, okay, we need to start working and doing something towards moving to London because God is going to use me in Parliament. I couldn't even speak in English. How on earth, I was thinking, had that naive mentality? Because sometimes it's not logical, you know? Sometimes yes, but sometimes not. And I remember when I shared with my friends, my English friends that are amazing, all of you, the English people, are amazing. You are very gentle, very polite. You know, thanks God I was not in Argentina, because in Argentina they will say, you are crazy. But no, here people say, oh, Rosanna, that is great. This is so interesting. I didn't know that interesting could mean so many things. Then I started to pray and think about that, but the time passed, and I didn't receive an invitation to go to Parliament. I didn't have great connections to be in Parliament. And in that process, we received the worst news in our life. That was our son passed away in an accident. We were living here, and our son, 24 years old, just married. He was in an accident with a bus that crashed him, and he passed away. He was just married. That was devastating for us. And after that, even during the time where we were mourning, still mourning for our son, was terrible. And I don't want to give you all the details, but after that, because we were in a big shock, we entered in a debt because we were paying, remember in London, thinking about the parliament, paying a big rent, a lot of money, and doing ministry and doing so many things. And this notice, that this knowing that our son passed away was something that really destroyed us in a certain way. Not destroyed, because we were not destroyed, but we were very affected by that. And then we entered in a debt, a 20,000 pounds debt. That maybe for some of you could be nothing, but for us at that time was a lot of money. And was a lot of money, and plus that mourning and a lot of sadness. And after some time, Jose came to me one day with this words of exhortation that he has sometimes. And he said, "Rosanna, you said to me that God will call you to work in Parliament. And on top of that, because we entered in a debt, we needed to leave our house. And we ended up in a house that was abandoned, and we were working so hard in the house. All this process, you know, and the house was terrible. We were working so hard. And one morning he said, "Rosanna, you said to me that God will use you in Parliament, but you are not doing nothing about that. I'm so glad that I was broken." I was not that proud, you know, because normally I will say, "Jose, how do you dare to say that? I'm working so hard, blah, 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 blah." All my arguments, you know. But no, I was so gentle, nearly an English woman. And I said to Jose, "Okay, Jose, in front of you, in front of the angels, in front of the enemy, I promise that from next week onward, I will go to Parliament twice a week. Twice a week. Yes, I'm going to pray around Parliament twice a week." And Jose said, "Okay, that's fine, good." 2 days after that promise, we received a calling, and he was responding to that calling. And was a home call. Phone call. And the guy was David Landrum, the one that was the senior representative of the Bible Society in Parliament at that time. And he said, "Is Rosanna Escobar at home, or is there?" And my husband said, "Yes, I'm her husband." "Okay, we would like to propose her to come and work in Parliament." After that, the next day, because I was in a very, you know, I was chaotic because I was cleaning the house and working in the house and still mourning for my son. And in all this situation, chaotic situation, my daughter helped me to you know, she put makeup on me. She tried, the girls that were working with us, they gave me different clothes for me to go to Parliament. Nice. And he came with me and we went to Parliament, and the guy said, "You know, we were praying for someone for coming to Parliament 3 years ago," was when God spoke to me, 3 years before. And God gave us your name. I don't know, there was a lot of connection that they ended up with my name because I'm not famous at all. The proposal is that if you can come twice a week to work with us in Parliament. Persevere, yeah. Beyond circumstances. That is faith. It's a strong determination that It's gonna happen. I'm not gonna go back. I'm not turning back. I'm gonna go and I go and insist and pray and do whatever is necessary beyond circumstances, because God has called me and He's worthy. He's worthy, you know. And finally, I was working in Parliament for 7 years, and now I finished working there, I started working for the United Nations. God is faithful. Are you faithful? That is the question. Can we pray for finishing this time? And thank you for the extra time. Maybe you can say to the Lord, Lord, I'm not gonna turning back. I want to persevere beyond circumstances. Just speak to me. Father, I ask you that you can speak to this church, to everybody here, and that you can make our hearts softer, Lord, because maybe some of us, we feel that we are just professionals of the gospel, but never we ending learning what we should learn. And we go for more, Lord. I ask you for this church to go for more. Lord, I ask you for this church to be known, not just in this town, but in the nation, and in the nation that something extraordinary is happening here. Lord, speak to your people. Speak to your people. Call them. Call them. And I ask you, Father, that you can give this gift of faith, the faith that works because of love, because we love you, Lord. We love you in first place. Lord, speak to us and continue speaking, Lord, during the week. And let us know what is our part in this. What is our part in this? Because we want to see revival in England, Lord. We want to see revival, and we don't want just to repeat this like parrots. We want to be part of the action, Lord, to bring revival in this nation, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. Come, Holy Spirit, and speak to us.